Welcome back to Retail Therapy. My name's Will DeFries. Barrett Dudley, how's it going today?
Man, it's going great. It's we're recording this on a Friday, and it's just been a week. It's been a real week of education for me.
Really?
Yeah. Really, 2 weeks of education, I would say. Like this morning, I was getting this delicious latte and a breakfast sandwich from Foxtrot, and I learned that if you're going to be sitting in a trendy, bougie little coffee shop doing work on a Friday morning, and you don't have AirPods Max, just get out.
Get out. What are you doing?
Get straight out of here.
Bye.
Yeah.
It's really, AirPod Maxes have caught on at a level that I didn't think they would reach. I thought people were sour on them for a little bit.
Yeah, no. It's just like a strange thing. It's like everybody's wallets are kind of tightening up right now, unless it's for $600 headphones, in which case, like, full speed ahead, green light, let's go, baby.
I had some free time over the last couple weeks. Not a ton of free time, as I have a new child in the world. Thank you for covering for me last week,
course,
Barrett.
Of course, yeah.
But I was taking my dog for a walk the other day during an opportune nap time, and I wanted to wear some headphones, listen to some music, as one does on a walk, and all I had that was charged was my AirPod Maxes. And I looked at Sally, and I said, do you have your AirPods anywhere that I can use? And she said, oh, I don't know where they are. It's like, okay. She goes, just wear your AirPod Maxes. I was like, I'm not going to wear these on a walk, like, to a natural area in Austin, Texas. It just feels really weird to have giant-ass headphones on in nature.
Yeah.
Like, what?
It does feel weird. I agree. And I'm almost also surprised at, like, people that wear them at the gym. Just because, like, anything, whether it's outdoor or sweaty indoor, like, I don't want, like, humidity in and around my ears. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I need a very, like, climate-controlled, cool, crisp environment, I feel like, to be putting on the over-ear headphones. But that clearly I'm in the minority on that.
Yeah, so. I mean, for those invested, I raw-dogged the walk. I went no audio.
No. Well, okay, well, that's apparently, that's also trending right now.
It felt pretty good.
Yeah.
Felt pretty good.
I think they're calling it Lord Louis on Discord. I think he just mentioned silent walks. Okay. I believe this is what this is called.
Squad is silent.
You heard about this, Randy? You heard about this? it's funny. I love when we name things that just already existed.
Yeah.
But then we name them, right, and they turn into a trend.
Babe, don't talk to me. I'm going on a silent walk.
So a silent walk is just like, it's a walk where you don't listen to anything and you don't look at your phone.
I'm going to start doing stepless walks that are just meditations.
There you go.
Yep. We're doing stepless walks that are just going to keep us inside.
Let's see. The other thing I learned. Oh. Yeah, David Beckham, greatest footballer of all time.
If you watch the documentary, they make you think so.
I mean, like, Pele who? Right? Like, Messi, get out of here. David Beckham, clearly the best footballer of all time. You want a brief rundown of trends from my experience at Austin City Limits?
I would love it, yes.
All right. The headline. And I mean hopefully I'm not saying anything that's going to get me in trouble here. Boobs are back.
They're just out.
Boobs are back in full effect, and we were for so long, for the better the 5, 6 years, 7 years maybe at this point. It's been all about the butt, right? Mm-hmm. Would you not agree?
I would very much agree.
And we went through the phase of like a lot of like wedgie jean shorts, a lot of booty hanging out of jean shorts, that type of thing. In previous the most recent years of ACL, there's just been a lot of ass out.
Yeah, it's the small jean shorts just hugging everything,
right,
letting it flow.
The full, almost a 180 this year. Way more modesty around the bottom half, but then just, boobs out everywhere.
I didn't go to ACL this year.
Yeah.
Let's go, girls.
So that, I mean, honestly,
is it the Shania effect?
I don't know what it was. I think, tie into that. A very, very popular style of top right now for women is like the bustier top, mm-hmm, or like a lingerie style top that's like worn as a top. Mm-hmm. And so that definitely has an effect. Now the trend, it's a Gen Z, it's like a young person trend. It's like wear these more like lingerie style tops and then with like very casual bottoms. So like a baggy cargo pant or a wide leg jean or something like that. And so it's a very 2000s kind of Britney, Christina Aguilera thing that's happening there with that I don't, millennials are probably not going to love.
It's a good time to go back to like when Britney was popular in terms of fashion right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you see any frilly socks out there?
No, I didn't catch frilly socks, but
I've been noticing Taylor Swift's frilly sock game lately. I feel like that's, I mean, frilly socks they've been running rampant for a little bit now, but I'm surprised that there's not more.
Well, that's more, I feel like that's more of like a, you know, you're dressing it up with like your loafers or something like that, and less of like the festival scene. Let's see, what else did I see? The and then just like sheer, still very in for everybody across the board. And I, you know, I'm just like, let's pour it out, baby. Let's show off the skin. I'm here for that still. So, but those are the headlines from ACL.
Well, it's good to know that people are still doing the sheer. I did wear my eyelet shirt that I have to, the F1 race over the weekend. And I wasn't too concerned over that. It played well. It was a very hot day out at the track.
Yeah.
And, I was like, when I saw photos of myself, I was like, oh yeah, you can definitely see the body underneath this shirt, which, you know what? I'm okay with. If people are going to be dumping out parts of their body, mm-hmm. I don't see why I can't either.
You definitely can. Absolutely. Please do.
We have a loaded episode.
Very loaded.
I'm very happy with some of the things we get to talk about today. But before we do so, I'm going to get some announcements out of the way, some very important announcements. I'd like to apologize first and foremost for the lack of listener companions over the last couple of weeks. They will return this week. And I will say that I will not be going back and doing any links from previous episodes, because that's going to be too much work over the weekend for me. I will be including the wish list items from both episodes that I did miss. And okay. So don't worry about those. I'll include Phil's from last week. Is that something I might just...
Might
be on a wish list in my future.
Yeah.
But yeah, the listener companions will be back. Just go to the description of this episode and we can make that happen. Additionally, you can watch these episodes on YouTube at youtube.com/Sunday Scaries Podcast. Right now, we're going through a switch company-wide that might stop us from being able to watch retail therapy video on Spotify. If you like the video, which I think that in terms of all the podcasts that we do here, I think the most value that we have for video comes through retail therapy because of all the stuff we put on the
people
screen.
People like watching retail therapy. That's what I'm hearing.
Check out the YouTube, because that video will go away on Spotify. Unfortunately, we're hoping we can get it back eventually, but right now it's not going to work. And then go follow at retail.pod on Instagram. Go make that happen. I do have a very special announcement. I'm going to do a Scaries episode next week. We're going to find out how someone very special in my life spends their Sundays. So just keep an eye out for that as well.
Okay.
But before we get into today, let's hear from a new sponsor of ours, Indeed. Maybe you own a business, maybe you don't, but hiring can be challenging. It's very challenging, and I like a challenge, but you need a hiring partner that can help you rise to the challenge. You need Indeed. Indeed is a hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's powerful hiring platform can help you do it all. They streamline hiring with powerful tools that find you match candidates. And with Instant Match, over 80% of employers get quality candidates whose resume or on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job, according to Indeed data in the U.S. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. If you've ever done any hiring for a company, you know how overwhelming it can be. Everyone's looking for a job. Whether they admit it or not, people are sending their resumes everywhere. Indeed just helps you sift through it all. Candidates you invite to apply are 3 times more likely to apply for your job than candidates who only see it in search, according to their data. And they get you 1 step closer to the hire by immediately matching you with a quality candidate. It's great. And even better, Indeed's the only job site where you only pay for applications that meet your must-have requirements. And it's just an unbelievably powerful hiring platform. Go make it happen. Go check it out. Go give it a try. Start hiring now with $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/Scaries. Offer is good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/Scaries. And just go to Indeed.com/Scaries and support the show by saying you heard about it on this podcast. Again, Indeed.com/Scaries. Terms and conditions do apply. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. We briefly mentioned him. But now I think we're going to go a little deep dive.
Yeah, I think we have to.
I didn't even know this documentary was happening. I feel like I'm pretty on top of most soccer or footy documentaries. It's something I've always really enjoyed. Like just being a soccer supporter myself, like watching the behind the scenes stuff just gets me so amped up. If you've ever seen the All or Nothing series on Amazon, I think it's the best sports documentary that they have out there. As much as I hate Manchester City, the Manchester City season was incredible. The Tottenham season was incredible. And I forget what the most recent season was.
And they've done a Man United one, right?
No, they haven't done a United one. Okay. The United one, I think they're kind of skewing away from doing. I think they're scared to actually show the problems behind the scenes at United because there's so many problems that are running rampant. Mainly these problems are that they've made zero updates to anything since David Beckham was at the club. I guarantee that a lot of the things that we saw in the documentary, the Beckham documentary, are things that are still at like their training, the Carrington Training Center.
Okay.
It's right. not a good thing. And yeah. so Manchester United is kind of, I get the feeling that they don't want to expose themselves in this capacity. But they didn't. I don't think they have a say in terms of this because they did a decent amount of shitting on Manchester United in this after a little bit, or maybe just Sir Alex Ferguson. But we're not here to talk about footy. We're here to talk about style.
We're here to talk about David Beckham. I mean, we are here to talk about a little bit of footy because there are some things that are just relevant to the style and to the overall thing. You mentioned kind of like not knowing, not being totally on top of this documentary. This just happens with Netflix stuff, so yeah. Don't feel bad.
Yeah.
It's just like Twitter grabs a hold of something or like TikTok or just pop culture in general. It's just like if it's on Netflix, which is basically the one streaming service that everybody has, like it can just bubble and simmer and pop. And then all of a sudden it's like all that anybody can talk about. And that's the way that I felt with the Beckham documentary is yeah. like all of a sudden I just kept seeing references to it. And I was like, okay, well, I gotta check this out.
It's the perfect documentary to sit down with like just you and your significant other because you've got the Beckham play, you got the Posh Spice play. Like it's just a perfect, like there's an interest for everybody in here.
That's how I felt about it. And then after the first two episodes, Laura and I were telling others, you know, another couple of friends of ours about it. And we were recommending it, but she was like, it is a little soccer heavy. And I was like, what?
What's your problem?
Because I definitely thought it was like a really nice balance. But I'm also like, how do you not watch the story of, spoiler alert, Man United winning the treble and like not just be like totally inspired and caught up
by
that run, you know?
My counterpart on the couch was disgusted by how I knew every single detail of that. I was like literally saying lines that the announcers were saying before they were saying them to Sally just to annoy her. And she was like, how do you know this? And I'm like, that's all I used to do. Like all I would do is sit around and watch videos of this. Those were the glory days. Like it was the best.
Yeah, but you're totally right. And that's the way I've pitched it as well is that like, yes, there's a lot of there's a lot of stuff about Beckham's football career, but like, it has so many touch points about just 90s pop culture and the zeitgeist that Posh and Becks were at the top of. And it's just, so many things felt relevant. I think I texted you this, but like, you must have just like hit the floor when episode two opens with David Beckham talking about how every night before he goes to bed, he has to walk around and trim all of his wicks.
It was just a beautiful thing to see. Like one thing I didn't know about him, but it makes sense because he's like he's achieved such levels of success in anything that he's done is just yeah. how particular he is.
Yeah.
And it makes sense that he would get into style because if you're a particular person, that is the number one place you should probably go to. And like just seeing the care that he took of everything, I started seeing shades of myself. He takes it to another level. But like I'm like him. I can't go to sleep if there's things that, like out of place in the place. I need to make sure that everything's clean, everything's done. Like yeah. I get it. I understand where he's coming from here. And then he's trimming his wicks. I was like, you couldn't have gotten better in my book, but you just did.
So were you already like you're a big Man United fan? Like were you already a big Beckham guy?
No. No, okay. Because Beckham was a little before me.
Yeah.
I didn't start watching soccer until after they had won the treble. It was really after that when Manchester United got like put on a pedestal.
Yeah.
And
so you're a classic glory supporter.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like when I procured the FIFA 1999 video game from my parents for Christmas uh-huh. and Manchester United had just won the treble and then suddenly you had they were the default team.
Right.
I just started playing with them because I wanted to score 12 goals a game.
Yeah.
And I just kind of fell in love with it. And then from that point on, like Beckham just wasn't, I didn't have the access to watch enough Beckham to like really go all in on him. I really went all in on Manchester United when Wayne Rooney came into the equation.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
His, in the, I think it was 2004 Euros, I had already liked Manchester United, but then Rooney really started skyrocketing in popularity. And it was like, all right, I love this guy. I love yeah. watching him. And so Beckham, I just missed him. But he was a figure that we would talk about a lot when we were playing soccer in high school. And it was mainly because of his cleats.
Yes, which is kind of one of the more fascinating things, I think, about the documentary is that at least the way that they frame it, footballers in the UK were not necessarily like, they were not the superstars in endorsement deals and in fashion and on magazines and on TV and in doing interviews. And it seems like he kind of created the mold for like the modern footballer, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think that
through his connection to the Spice Girls and by marrying Victoria Adams.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of the documentary revolves around how Sir Alex Ferguson, another shocking thing that I had no idea is that like, it's just in this day and age to look back and see that there was a coach of a professional sports team who coached it for 20 some odd years. And it's not a college team. Mm-hmm. That's unheard of. Mm-hmm. That's wild.
He was our goat.
It was very much, it's not like it was a blue collar job necessarily, but it certainly wasn't like, you know.
It was a different world.
It was a different world.
Because now the Premier League has gotten so big and there's so much money in it that every single player that goes there automatically gets a bump in status. And
right.
Even if a player doesn't want to go to the Premier League in the beginning, and let's use the most popular player in England who does not currently play in the Premier League is probably Jude Bellingham, who plays for Real Madrid. If you get the opportunity to play for Real Madrid, as Beckham showed, you go play for Real Madrid. That's just what you do. But it's a big deal to go to the Premier League now because it's almost like, I hesitate to make this analogy. It's almost like the NFL now where it's like just, its popularity has just exceeded so many other sports and so many other leagues that it's just head and shoulders above the rest. Whereas at that time with Beckham, the other leagues were still hyper-competitive and just as competitive. And there was so much money going through all of them that it was a much more level playing field than it is now.
Yeah.
And so you just didn't have that kind of, I don't want to use the word posh because of Posh Spice, but that posh celebrity look, you know, famous because they were good at soccer. They weren't famous because they were doing fashion deals.
Yeah.
They weren't famous because they were of their white cleats.
Yes. And he certainly kind of embodies that and takes it to a new level. The way that you really, really, you know, related to him when he's talking about how he's cleaning the apartment every night and trimming the wicks is the way that I related to him when he was like, yeah, I'll get a paycheck and I'll spend it.
Dude, just did not care.
He's like, I'll get a paycheck, I'll go buy a watch.
That you do a good David Beckham.
I'll get a paycheck. I love it when they're in his like little apartment. You know, he's like just getting rich and they're looking at the leather jacket on the wall. He's like, oh yeah, it's Gucci.
He was just spending it all.
Yes, which was like, I mean, not the smartest financial decision. He's like in the new Porsche. He's got all the, he's just absolutely dripping. And he's just acknowledging that he's just like, he signs the Adidas deal for $50,000. He goes out, buys a $50,000 BMW M3.
Yep. It's a very, very transactional.
More power to David Beckham for eventually figuring it all out and like building a little empire. He's essentially like a little mogul now, right? Or not a little one, but got great personal wealth is what I'm saying here.
Have you started folding your t-shirts and putting them one on top of the other, but a little off so that you can see all the stack?
I've not. No, my closet setup is not that great. So most of my t-shirts hang still, actually.
Yeah, when I saw how he folded his t-shirts, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. And I love that he does it all himself. Like, he doesn't need someone to go in there and do it. He's just, it's just Bex, dude. Can we go through some of his 90s fits?
Let's go through some of his 90s fits. While we're, is this the personal style?
Yeah, evolution? I put it up. Yeah. There's an article. It doesn't have a ton in it, but it's got some of his trademark fits, I would say.
Like you said, how his era of at Man United was a little bit before your time. Like, yeah, I was playing soccer in the late 90s, but not actively watching soccer. And I like I would watch World Cup and I was familiar with the big stars. It's really, really fun to see like late era Ronaldo on Real Madrid. Mm-hmm. I did not realize that he and Beckham played together for a little while.
Yeah.
But he was my favorite player growing up. Like, he inspired my very first AOL Instant Messenger handle, which was Adidas 9R for Ronaldo.
Love it.
And like that's whose Brazil jersey I had. So like that was really cool to see.
We went over to Madrid for a school trip in 2004, and we got to go to the Bernabeu and go see the stadium, but we didn't get to see a game or anything because it was in the middle of summer. But I bought a long sleeve Ronaldo white Real Madrid jersey that I don't know how I lost it. It was the coolest jersey. I just loved it. But yeah, so he went to Real Madrid in 2003.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That was really when he left was when I really started going all in because we had the channels to watch every EPL game. The shaved head.
Unreal. I spoke about the buzz cut look on Retail Pod Instagram account a couple months back and referenced Brad Pitt is like the GOAT of the buzz cut in his like Mr. and Mrs. Smith era. But Beckham may have just leaped him after watching this documentary because you forget how.
I want to see a timeline. Who had it first?
Beckham, okay. For sure. Yeah. But it was Beckham. But it was pretty close. Nah, because this was like, he shaved the head while he was still on Manchester United. So that would have been like, well, it was like 99 or 2000. Or
it was, yeah, early 2000s.
Like so he was definitely first and he crushes the look. I love it when he comes out in the match with the popped collar, the shaved head, and the big earring.
Dude.
Just a total middle finger to Sir Alex Ferguson.
The popped collar. Very few players are allowed to do a popped collar. That's one of those things where it's like you're the dog on the team if you're popping the collar. You know you're that guy.
Also, I would be lying if I said I didn't spend 45 minutes trying to find a vintage long sleeve of the white Manchester United team viewer.
Bear, just kit. Come to me. Just come to me. I'll find you that, anything that, you need. That one I'll find you anything so, you need. So I got all the links. I can find you any jersey you possibly need.
He crushes tank tops. He was a forebearer of the wife pleaser. and doing small top big pants. He's constantly doing that.
He's doing small top big pants.
I love it when he rocks the a wife pleaser with a beanie. Because I mean, that's just like early LA, like, you know, that's, you know, it's definitely 77 degrees, but why not rock a beanie?
That's not a necessary fit. But I mean, if it's your head shaved, you got to keep it a little warm up there.
Exactly.
This is on a different link that I have in here, Barrett, but can we talk about his wedding wardrobe?
Yeah, that was probably the biggest gasp in our household is when they pop up in the.
How is this not more talked about that they did this?
I don't know. I really don't know.
These photos should be famous. They should be memed into oblivion. Like these should be used all the time for things.
When it's scrolling through the little photo shoot that they were doing here in the purple outfits, unbelievable.
Sally and I were kicking ourselves that we didn't have a good reason to recreate this for Halloween this year.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
They even had little Brooklyn in like a little That's purple right. top hat and stuff. And we were like, oh my God, I wish that we had time and funds to just recreate this look and just post these photos. It would be hilarious.
This is one of the fun parts about getting married when you're like 24 as well, is that especially if you're already super rich, is that you just don't give a shit.
No.
So I love listening to them talk about, they're like, I don't even remember why we wanted to do that or why we decided it was a good idea, but it like, we didn't care. It was fun.
Yeah. I mean, like there are definitely celebrities these days who take weddings to a new level. And then like you have Sofia Richie who did like the most like tasteful Italian wedding or no French wedding you can possibly do. And
very timeless.
But then you have just other people, like you have like, like Travis Barker,
Javit and Kourtney Kardashian.
Yeah, like they're just dressing all different ways. You had Hailey Bieber doing the Till Death Do Us Part veil and everything. It was just, it's just a lot of hype.
Yeah, this was pretty phenomenal, though.
It's not too late for you to pivot.
you
and Laura could go full royal purple.
It's true. I haven't actually purchased a tuxedo yet. So, yeah.
If Netflix has like an OnlyFans version where you can see all the behind the scenes footage of the wedding from like the camcorders, I would pay for that because seeing the players that were walking around with him and just getting drunk and having fun was great. I don't know how much footy you're taking down these days, Barrett, but Gary Neville has really emerged as being one of the top announcers in the UK in terms of everything.
Oh, I didn't realize that. No.
So he's very, very popular now. I would say that he's probably the most popular commentator when it comes to soccer.
Where is he doing, like, who is he commentating for?
Sky Sports. He also has deals with other people too, but it's mostly through Sky, I believe.
So if I'm watching Saturday and Sunday morning footy on USA Network or NBC Sports,
you won't see
whatever,
him on there.
Like, I'm not going to hear him.
You won't see him on there. I get most of it through YouTube, but he's got such good analysis of things, and I like him so much. Mainly, and it helps that he's a United guy, that I just watch a lot of his stuff. But seeing the way that he's evolved since these days, he did the best man speech at the Beckham wedding,
right?
And he was so gun shy. He was not enunciating. Like, he wasn't doing anything. And now you put the guy in front of a microphone and he's just undressing people. Like, and it's funny seeing the evolution of all these guys now, going from just like not modest. I mean, they weren't modest at the time. He was buying Porsches with paychecks, but like going from, you know, just being pure footballers to being just like now the guys that lead the charge.
Well, I definitely watch this and think about how different. Like it's obviously the same guy, but you know, this article that I have pulled up, it's all about his style evolution. It really is an evolution. It's kind of a shocking one, because even the photos of him when he's a kid don't really look like the photos of him when he's 27.
Yeah.
Which don't really look like what he looks like now, almost. You know, he's very much a chameleon in that way.
He seems more in tune than I have to give him credit, because he doesn't strike me as someone that has like a team pulling all the strings for him when it comes to how he's dressing and doing those kind of things.
Yeah. I mean, he's on that Succession money now, you know what I mean? It's like everything he wears these days is pretty much like quiet luxury.
Yeah. Yeah. What's with the briefcase he was recently toting around? Did you see that?
No.
I think he was dropping his kid off at school or something, or picking somebody up, or they were walking somewhere, and he just had a giant briefcase, a designer briefcase that he had with him. And it was like the meme that I saw was just a quote from whoever he was walking with, the daughter or something. And it just said like, "Dad, why do you have to bring this giant briefcase to school right now? Like, it's totally unnecessary." I would like to talk before we wind this down. I would like to talk about his boots.
Yeah, of course.
I've got a couple links here. It really changed everything. When he started wearing the Adidas Accelerators, it was just like, or the Adidas Predators. From my perspective in high school, we all just went nuts. It was like, oh my God, I want these white cleats. And our soccer coach pretty much told us, you're not showing up with white cleats. If you are wearing white cleats, you better be the best player on the field. And there was one single player who was allowed to wear white cleats when we were in high school. It was the coach's son. And by default, I will say the coach's son was one of the best players. He was our midfield leader, and he was good enough to rock them. But it was like, oh shit, we can't do that. And so I decided to zag, and I went gunmetal, purely based off Beckham doing this. They had some other cleats that were kind of a modified, toned down version of these. But as you can see on here, the Adidas stripes loop all the way underneath the shoe. And that was the actual like Beckham version.
Oh, you're right. Right, right, right.
And yes, I begged my mom. I was like, please get me. I want the $175 ones instead of the $90 ones. Like, please, what can I do? She finally broke and she said, this is the last pair you're ever getting from me. And I felt invincible on the field in these things.
There were many variations. I remember flipping through all the soccer catalogs in the late 90s, looking at the shoes. And yes, you could get like an A, a B, or a C version at varying price points. This photo that you linked here with the blue, this is the pair that I remember finally getting. And there were even like the least expensive versions had no nubs on the toe.
Oh, see, yeah, I had the nubs.
You had to get the nubs for them to like be real Predators. And people were, I definitely was jeered once or twice for wearing these, because unlike your coach's son in the white cleats, I definitely was not the best player on the field. So I was probably not the person that should have the most expensive boots on the field. But that was pretty much par for the course, no matter what sport I played, is that I was going to do my best to recreate a look from a professional, regardless of whether my play matched that look or not.
I don't know. So the coach's son's name was Josh. I truly loved playing with him, because I always knew he was going to go as hard as possible. And we got our new warmups in one day, my senior year of high school. And our new warmups were Adidas. They were the nicest warmups we had in the 4 years of soccer. And when I put it on, I felt like I was a professional soccer player. And then when I put on those cleats with it, I just felt untouchable. And I was kind of walking around our side of the field while we were warming up. And Josh was looking at me and he was stretching. And right before the game, he looks up at me and he goes, "Did you kind of look like Beckham right now?" And it stuck with me that entire game. And I was like, I feel so cool right now. I looked nothing like Beckham at that point. But just him telling me that, I was like, dude, I feel like I can go out here and ball.
Did you cut the legs off, like, just so they hit like right at your calf?
No, I should have gotten the cropped ones. The, yeah,
getting a little crop
I did.
Going.
I did unnecessarily put the bungee at the front that kind of kept the tongue down. Beckham put as far up as he could, whereas a lot of other players just put it like at a normal spot.
Yeah.
I would put it far up just to be like Beckham. I mean, he was just leading everything. And I feel like now he doesn't get enough credit for leading that charge of the style in soccer.
So to come back to the football aspect of it, where does, you know, now that you're more of a historian, where do you think Beckham ranks as far as like in like public perception of all time greats?
Because I don't know, because I think the public perception of him has been tainted by his brand. Like, I think his brand has taken him out of being in the soccer conversation, and he's just more in like the
celebrity.
Figurehead conversation. But like watching it and stuff, I didn't get to watch like full length games with him as much as I could have. And so I didn't get to see how he like changed everything. But now looking back and watching those highlights and knowing what I know now and just seeing how he passed and seeing where he could just drop a ball, it was like insane.
Yeah. The documentary is obviously gassing him up. So it's making him look maybe better than he was. I don't actually know. I'm a certified casual here, but I think that definitely he was famous for the free kicks. I remember that.
Bend it like Beckham.
And watching the way that he could place, you know, a ball from way outside the box like that, that's pretty rare, pretty special. I feel when I'm watching games on Saturday and Sunday mornings, I almost never see shots like that.
The way that he could put the ball in a totally different spot of the field and just open up everything and completely like undo the defense with one sweep of the leg. Yeah. It was a game changer. And you see a lot of guys now that are like that probably watched Beckham growing up that can make these long passes now. But I mean, you're not allowed to make those passes unless you're somebody that can.
Yeah. Last couple of things that I want to say. The reaction to the World Cup red card, really, really shocking from a 2023 lens, mm-hmm. because in an American sport now, and really I feel like in an American sport ever, the only anger in a scenario like that would be directed at the referee for calling that a red card, which was absurd.
Yeah, but he was the victim there.
But suddenly it's like, No, they didn't even mention that. Nobody even questions the referee for making that call, which was a shock to me. That's a pretty big moment in the documentary. Obviously, it spurs a lot of the conversation in the second episode. One other thing I wanted to throw out here. Do you realize who's directing this documentary?
What is going on with that? Sally called this out way before me.
It's Fisher Stevens, who plays Hugo in Succession.
No one cares his name's Fisher Stevens. It's Hugo.
It's Hugo is doing this documentary. This is like his project. He's the one interviewing everybody. And I was like, I saw his name before I even started the documentary. And I was like, oh, weird. There's another Fisher Stevens. No, it is Fisher Stevens. It is actually Fisher Stevens.
It took Sally like 20 minutes before she heard the voice. And she was like, that's the guy from Succession. And she looked it up. She's like, yeah, it is. And I was like, I never would have gotten there. I was just the ignorant dude just sitting there like pointlessly staring off, dreaming of looking like Bex.
Posh and Bex, man.
Goated couple.
They really are.
I love that they're still together.
This documentary, it's a full-on two thumbs up recommendation, I think, from anybody that likes listening to this podcast.
I mean, people ask how I became like an Anglophile, and it's all of this. It's like the Manchester United side of things, the early 2000s soccer side of things. But combine that with my parents brought us over to the UK for spring break. We got $100 round trip tickets to London from Detroit.
Jeez.
$100. And that was during peak Spice Girls time. And so my sister got obsessed with the Spice Girls. It was really hard not to get caught up in kind of the whole UK everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just the time to lean into the UK. Princess Diana was, you know, cruising on the cover of every People magazine. I wanted to look like, I think more than anything, I wanted to look like Prince William over Bex at that point, though, because he was the heartthrob back then.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, Beckham was paving the way for you and the homies here at Wash with his small arms, though.
It's true. Well, it's true. You know? Yeah, he did not spend much time on his upper body. Why would you?
Really interesting listening to Kiro's or whatever his name is. Press Beckham for gaining too much upper body muscle for a commercial, which is why he was no longer as fast. And then you like look at guys like Cristiano today who are absolutely yoked.
Yeah, there's a there, if you
so it's just an interesting.
There's a whole like meme. You look it up. Look up before and after of players that go play for Bayern Munich right now. Dudes go there looking tiny, and then like whatever program they have at Bayern Munich, shredded? They just get shredded.
Okay,
shredded. Like I want to go. I want to just do like a. Just a quick program over there for like a month and just see what I can put on.
But yeah, what a trailblazer.
It David was great. I love this documentary. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. We kind of ruined a lot of the fun parts, but now you have some context.
We talked a lot about the good stuff, but there's so much to mine here.
There is.
You got to see the fits to believe them, mm-hmm. honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the hairstyles especially too.
I was hoping to see Tim Howard in there at some point.
Did we not?
I don't know if we did.
They don't overlap at Man U.
Yeah, I guess you're right. My years, dude, I'm so bad with years. I'm so bad with knowing. I have to look everything up at this point.
Yeah. Well, the doc plays pretty fast and loose with him as well.
It does. Let's talk about our friends over at Point Me. It's the first of its kind real-time search engine for points. It's like Kayak or Google Flights, but for points. Point Me shows people how to get the best flights using their credit card points or airline miles, and it breaks down every step of how they can move from one to the other. They're on a mission to get people better flights for fewer points and for people to stop wasting their points. I feel like I waste my points pretty much every time I use them, Barrett, because I'm not a points person. I don't look up how to use points. I don't feel like...
You got to look that up.
I feel like you need a college degree in order to know how to perfectly use your points, but now we have Point Me. It checks for flights across 33 loyalty programs on more than 150 airlines to uncover a multitude of real-time award flight options. Point Me runs extensive business rules and logic to validate that the flights that you see on Point Me are flights you can actually book. It's easy to use. It walks users through every step from how to conduct a point transfer from a credit card to an airline all the way to booking. It's critical. At every touch point, they've asked, could someone who has never used their points before use Point Me successfully? So there are a lot of educational moments and opportunities to build confidence and understanding. I recently paid for an overpriced flight using my points, and looking back on it, I think I used way too many points there, Barrett. Point Me is heaven sent. They're on a mission to make it as easy as possible for travelers to find their best deals, no matter their loyalty program. Head over to the description of this episode and just go check out Point Me. During No Coptober, we've been trying to do No Coptober, Barrett.
Yeah, you've both taken it on, huh?
How is it going for you overall?
It's going pretty well for me. I have made one cop this month that we're going to talk about in a minute here. And it really wasn't clothing either. It's sort of, I guess it's technically clothing, but not really. We'll get to that. But it's been pretty good. I think it's been great to like kind of be forced to enjoy the things that I own and not constantly be like tearing open the box for the shiny new thing that's now the only thing that matters to me in my life.
Mm-hmm. that's unfortunately true.
And it's also like, I think this is something that I kind of, you know, I already knew and was reconciling with, but look, there's only so many times that we have the opportunity to wear stuff.
Yeah.
To really wear stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, this week is a great example. It's rained every single day, and I've rotated between two pairs of Nike ACG pants. I've worn the same Salomon sneakers every single day, and then it's been like a t-shirt that I don't care if gets, you know, muddy or rained on or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a full week gone where I'm not wearing anything that I like love. Mm-hmm. That's like sparking a ton of joy or that's like a great piece for me. So it you know, I'm coming face to face with that, with the knowledge that like, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about earlier this week is like I can probably pick out 10 days for the rest of the year where I'll have the opportunity to like wear a fit that I'm like proud of and want people to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I got more than enough to put together 10 fits.
Yeah.
And then the year's over.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I mean? Like, so it's just like, as much as I have been cruising the, Randy, get that finger ready, the Ame Leon Dore site, looking at fall, winter drop two and, you know, loading up my cart with four different things. I'm doing an okay job of not budging because I know that this stuff is adding to a collection rather than like actively getting worn.
Okay.
And seen.
Okay. This is a very mature way of going about this.
Yeah, well, I've got to find something to cope. some way to get through.
It hasn't gone well for me. I didn't have the vigor going into it of really just wanting to do NoCoptober. I was more trying to support the homies. And I've just failed miserably, as you can see, just physically on me right now.
Right, right. Yeah, you did make a nice purchase there.
We'll talk about cowboy stuff in a little bit, but if you're watching on video, you can see that I'm wearing the recent Twill Western shirt from the Ame Leon door drop.
We get one ring. Once we break the seal, it's true. Randy's trigger finger, it's slipping. I also think that this should all be, you know, come with the caveat that, like, I have an overwhelming amount of stuff. I have been doing the whatever the opposite of NoCoptober is, just like full cop every month for a long time. And it's like that. So this was kind of a reckoning that needed to happen at some point anyway, because I got to cull it down a little bit. I got to do something before I can start feeling good about adding again. Whereas I don't think you were, you weren't quite to that level.
At the end of summer, I removed a ton of stuff from my closet, ton of stuff. I've never had more room in my closet than I had at the end of summer. And while I haven't purchased a lot during the fall, I've kind of gotten to the point now where the piles that I have, the stacks of stuff, are reaching the levels that, not the levels they were at, but I'm like, okay, I can't buy much more because I don't feel like getting rid of more at this point. So, I tried to get Sally on board. She was all in on it. She was going to support me because she likes to support our NoCoptober kings out there. But she has also fallen off the bandwagon. I walked into our house yesterday and saw that there was just a giant ShopBot box on there.
Running their sale, you know? Yeah. Like, what was she supposed to do?
And she even said to me, she's like, they got a lot of good men's stuff on there too, Will. You should do it. And I was like, stop it. But the one thing that she has been, like, she told me, she's like, I don't care that it's NoCoptober. I'm doing this. She bought a new water bottle. And this is at the pressure of just the general world right now. I don't know where this came from. I don't know who told her that this was the new hot water bottle. But she has purchased a hydro jug.
And now, is this different than a hydro flask?
It is different than they're even different companies.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Is it a different brand?
It is a different brand, yeah. And so apparently this is one of the new hot water bottles on the scene. And I know we talked about water bottles last year, but the vibes shift at such a rapid clip with water bottles that I had to re-bring this up. I've never felt more self-conscious about my water bottle game than I do right now. I don't have a go-to water bottle. I don't have my emotional support water bottle, as some people say.
I've never called my 36-ounce Yeti Rambler my emotional support water bottle, but I do. It's essentially attached to my arm.
Like, you inspire me to get a giant water bottle and bring it with me, because I don't normally do that. I used to be really good about having a giant glass at my desk that I would fill up with water throughout the day. And I was getting 120 ounces like every single day. Not even a question. I'm so much worse about it now. And I think it's because I don't have my go-to water bottle.
Yeah. I mean, it also, not to take shots, but I've heard that the water situation around here is a bit lacking.
No comment.
You got to stay hydrated, and single use plastic is fully out. You cannot be going to the fridge and grabbing a brand new 16-ounce Ozarka every few hours. That's not that.
No,
you know,
I'm so against plastic water bottles. Like, I don't use them at all. When Sally will bring them home from the hospital, because that's what they have to use for like sterile reasons, I will see her water bottle. I will chug the water out of it and throw it away, because I don't even like looking at it. I can't look at those plastic water bottles.
Please tell me that Sally got this black on black leopard print.
I want to tell you she didn't, but I honestly think that she might have. Like, you could tell me that she didn't, and I would not be surprised at all. Well, through doing this, I now have started being like, wait, like, okay, so now the hydro jug is cooler than the hydro flask.
Right.
And like, so where does everything else start to fit in here? Like, I thought Stanley bottles currently were the number one hot water bottle.
Yeah, right.
Stanley bottles, for me, I think they look really nice, and I think they have the credibility behind them. I honestly look at these other companies like Hydro Jug, and I'm like, where did they even come from? Like, how did they suddenly have like a water bottle that's sold out for 2 months?
Was this one sold out for
this
2 months?
The one that Sally got was sold out, and she's not getting it until mid-November.
Oh, okay. So she had to, it was backordered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And so like, I'm freaking out over here. I'm not proud of what I'm doing, but like, currently I'm just using this sponsor given like white water bottle, which is fine. but it doesn't have a mouthpiece. It doesn't have like the luxuries of other water bottles.
Well, so between the Stanley and the one here that I think Tinks is a fan of, maybe yes. This is the Simple Modern Classic Tumbler. And
she started a revolution with the Simple Modern Classic Tumbler. I've seen that in a lot of places.
The Hydro Jug, one of the through lines between these three that we've got pulled up here is the straw functionality.
Yes.
Which I don't personally, I like an open top. I like a big, I like to drink like from a glass, essentially is my favorite way of imbibing.
Yeah, I get it.
Water or otherwise.
I get it.
I'm kind of out on all of these because I don't think I'm going to mess with the straw. It's one more thing you got to clean.
I hate doing like the straw section of the dishes.
Yeah, you need some other little like tube thing that like goes in the straw or something?
I mean, we've got enough bottle washing stuff that we can pretty much wash anything at this point.
That's fair.
Honestly, a difficult thing when you start amassing water bottles is the storage of them. Like the one that we have on the screen right now, the Simple Modern Tumbler, it's too tall. You can't put it in there with the straw in it. It's too tall for any cabinet.
That's a great point. What are you going to do when you're storing this thing? Yeah, the straw makes it like 2 feet tall.
Cleaning it, it doesn't fit well in any part of the dishwasher because it's so tall. And so like there's no perfect water bottle for me right now. I mean, are you particular about yours?
So look, Yeti, I like to keep it homegrown, local company here, mm-hmm. right? And I do feel like Yeti deserves the credit for making everything that we have up on the screen possible.
Yeah, I agree.
Like they didn't invent this type of water bottle, or maybe they did. I'm actually not sure, but they certainly didn't invent the idea of a water bottle. Another thing that we have listed is like the idea of a Nalgene, right?
Yeah.
But they certainly popularized this kind of like the double sided stainless steel that keeps beverages hot or cold, and that you should just bring everywhere with you, and you're constantly refilling. So, I have stuck with Yeti for many years right now. When I got this one, I looked into Hydro Flask, and one of the reasons why I stuck with Yeti is because Hydro Flasks they say that you should not, put them through the dishwasher.
Okay.
Which is a non-starter for me. I was happy to see that the Hydro Jug is dishwasher safe because I just don't have time to be hand washing this thing like three times a week. You know what I mean?
No.
I do try to run it through the dishwasher once a week. I used to be more bad about that. Like not cleaning it enough.
I think most people are bad about it, but they will represent that they clean it all the time.
Yeah.
I don't think they do.
But you probably should still clean it even more than that. I'll add that I felt very encouraged and very validated because in the Beckham dock, Victoria is sitting right next to a white Yeti.
Oh, there you go.
In one of the home interviews, like in the current interviews, there's just a white Yeti tumbler sitting on our coffee table like the entire time. And I was like, wow, the Beckhams, they're just like me.
Just like us.
Yeah.
Just like us.
Just like us. Drinking out of Yetis and stuff. So that was good enough for me. But yeah, I mean, you got anything you want out there. The world is your oyster when it comes to these water bottles.
I've recently gotten a Nalgene. I got it for free because it was a Black Friday deal. Not recently, I guess. It was a year ago. But they were doing a Black Friday deal where if you bought enough stuff at this place that I usually buy stuff, it was, I'll just say, it's Necessaire. Beauty spa company. They've got great shampoo, great body wash, but they had a free Nalgene deal. And I was like, well, I might as well get a free Nalgene out of this. I already buy their stuff. And I just hesitate to use a Nalgene. One, it doesn't keep everything cold enough. And two, I just feel like Nalgene's at this point, everyone just thinks you're like granola and a hippie. And so I'm really gun shy when it comes to that.
Yeah, if you're not going to loop the Nalgene, the little loop that keeps the cap onto the bottle, if you're not going to like thread like your crunchy,
I need a carabiner,
Cavu backpack, through that thing,
mm-hmm.
it's like don't even bother getting one.
Like Fjallraven or whatever they're called,
sure,
like, Fjallraven, those things might as well come with a Nalgene at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, maybe great for hiking when you're trying to keep things light as possible.
Yeah.
That type of thing. But I like my water cold, man.
I do too.
I like
I
it icy.
Too. I'm a big ice guy.
Yeah.
I don't chew ice as much as I used to, but I still love chomping on some ice every once in a while. Can we before we finish this segment, can we actually click on these links about the Stanley water bottles and how people are accessorizing and bejeweling them?
Yeah.
It's fucking disgusting behavior, Barrett. I'm disgusted by this. I like changing the dynamic of something as much as anybody. I like tossing a nice little pin on something or accessorizing. But like, do we really need, you know, shoulder straps for our things? Do we need purses on our water bottles? Like, do we need jewels everywhere? It just seems a little unnecessary to me. Like, people are sending in their water bottles to get bejeweled by these companies.
Yeah.
It just seems unnecessary.
That's a tough look.
There's no way that you're going to go wash your bejeweled Stanley after that.
Right,
and then you're just going to be the person walking around with, like, lipstick stains on your bejeweled Stanley that's never been washed before.
I think you touched on something maybe a little bit with the Stanley especially, but now that I'm seeing this bejeweled one, which has the name scrawled across the side of it as well, like, I'm sorry, but that's giving suburban Karen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's gone to a new level where that's not cool anymore.
You can't be doing this.
That's not sleek. It's not cool. It's you're doing too much there. And I'm going to keep referencing the Beckham documentary as many times as I can. There are some things where, you know, you look back, there are some of the fits from the 90s, some of the trends from the 90s. Like, I'm thinking of Victoria at the first Real Madrid home game in, like, the giant Christian Audigier trucker hat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, that was bad. That was bad. A lot of the stuff looks great, very relevant to now. That was bad. You're going to look back on this in 20 years and be like, oof.
If I was David and Victoria and I was watching that documentary for the first time, I'd be playing a game with my significant other being like, all right, let's play hit or miss. Like, okay, this was a hit. This has withstood the test of time. And these are just the misses. They just have to be kicking themselves for some of the things they did. But don't we all?
That is part of the game.
I went on Facebook recently. I did my monthly Facebook check-in and saw some old memory photos of me. And I was like, man, I was wearing way too much Vineyard Vines back in the day. Way too much Vineyard Vines back in the day. That's okay, though. Still has its place. Let's hear from our friends over at Alfa Romeo. They got the all-new Tonale. It's loaded up with tech. They got the large touchscreen. They got the safety tech, the automatic emergency braking, which if you're a driver in Austin, just go get one because you need it. No one knows how to brake here. But more than anything, these things are just fun to drive. If you've ever driven an Alfa Romeo, you know that they're all about performance. And they're just a blast. They zip around. They got the Italian exterior, so you know it looks good. They got the interior design that's just unique. It really stands out. It's just really high-end, current, nice, luxurious, beautiful. They even got the plug-in hybrid technology, so you can feel good about driving. The freedom to choose between gas or electric. Who doesn't love a choice there? There's just so many reasons that you should try to slide into Tonale. Go check it out. Learn more about the Alfa Romeo Tonale at alfaromeousa.com. I don't want to tread too much on what you and Phil talked about.
I would love some thoughts.
Based on what feedback. I'm currently wearing, I need to talk about cowboy appropriation real quick.
Yeah.
Because I plan on doing a lot of appropriating of cowboy culture for the next 3 to 4 to 5 months.
Okay. Western, that's another thing that was very big at ACL. Western is very much happening.
I've grown up in a household that values the great American West. My dad, he went through a cowboy phase at a formative part in my life, and the den that I would spend most of my time watching television in, I don't know if my dad decided that that was going to be a Western den, or if my mom said, all your Western stuff is going in this room.
Okay.
No other room is allowed to have this. But we had just a ton of Western stuff, and so I kind of always liked it and was interested by it. I didn't realize how much of an effect that had on me until I started decorating our place currently. And now I have just like Western prints up. We got cowboy hats hanging. And I'm like, okay, I'm slowly becoming my father, or I'm just being on the cowboy trend. But throughout this this fall, you've just been seeing a lot of cowboy stuff pop up lately. And as we talked earlier, I did buy the Ame Leon D'Or cowboy work shirt. And it's now kind of the leader in the clubhouse of things that I cannot wait to wear out in public.
Yeah.
I decided to wear it for today's episode just because I wanted to flex a little bit.
Perhaps,
and just be a little bright on the screen.
Yeah.
But like there's so much coming up.
Start driving that CPW down.
The what?
I said start driving that CPW down.
Have to. I actually thought this was relatively reasonably priced compared to what they could have charged for it. Ame is very good at having some high price tags. When I saw that this was what it was, I was actually surprised that they could have probably done more. There's so many things coming up. I'm not leaving the state of Texas for the holidays this year. I will be in Texas the entire time, which means cowboy appropriations all in play. And we've also got a Breck trip, and no one loves wearing like Western gear more than Texans going up to Colorado for the weekend.
That's 100% true. Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all talked about big dumb hats last episode.
Yeah, we had to address them. Yeah.
You've made me, I've always been gun shy with my big dumb hat just because it is such a statement. And now that like DJs are wearing them, and I guess they've kind of always been wearing them a little bit, like it's just even scarier. I have this link down here at the bottom. Like all I want to do is channel Cowboy Bob Weir from The Grateful Dead, just because he went full cowboy probably, I don't even know how many years ago it was, probably 6 years ago. He decided I'm going to be a cowboy now. And he wears this Western hat all the time. At the Saturday show we saw in San Francisco, he rolled out in the Western hat. And I was like, oh, we're about to have a heater of a show right here, my friends.
Yeah, this is very, I mean, I don't know who's rubbing off on who. If it's Bob Weir on John Mayer or the other way around. Because this just looks like a John Mayer fit to me.
It looks like the cover of Paradise Valley.
Also, man, that guitar is sick.
Yeah. Bob's got it. Bob, he understands. He's the coolest old dude going right now for me.
But Bob's actually... So, you know, there are some gray areas, and the overall curve of the brim, and I mean that from the front to the back, there's a spot where it gets enough curve into it where it transforms from big dumb hat to Western hat.
Yeah.
And you're then out of the territory of looking like you're wearing a big dumb hat, because it's not a big dumb hat. It's just a Western hat. And so that's one of the ways that you can kind of like sneak around it. I think one of the quintessential qualities of a BDH is that it's just a wide, flat brim.
Okay. This is comforting. I have a little slight curvature to my hat.
Yours has
hat.
Like a little bit of a curve in it is from and what
that
I remember.
There was part of me that was like, should I just get a straight up cowboy hat or should I go with a hat that I'm more likely to wear in like stylish situations? And I feel like I chose something that's so in between that it makes me more gun shy than if it was just like a straight up cowboy hat.
Yeah. I think time and place is you know really what it comes down to as well with these things. It's like when something is no longer like all the way in and it starts to recede a little bit, it still makes sense within the context of like where it came from.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
So like if you're in Aspen or Breck or Santa Fe or whatever, like you're going to look a lot more normal wearing it than you will just, you know, hitting Uchiba on a Saturday night in Austin.
I straight up bought it in Aspen so I could wear it the entire time we were in Aspen and just be an asshole. I wanted to be that asshole who rolled into Aspen and looked like an idiot the entire time. That was the entire point of getting the hat in the first place. But now I've taken it to another level, Barrett. I've talked about this numerous times. I've purchased cowboy boots. After living for 8.5 years in Austin, Texas, I finally have decided, you know what? I'm going to do it.
You've talked about this a lot. This is a giant step for you. Tell me what you bought.
I went to our friends over at Tecovas.
Yeah.
I wanted some boots that people would consider to be worthy boots. And Tecovas is a brand that people very much like. I didn't want to overspend on boots. And if you're familiar with Tecovas, they've got great price points. And luckily, we have a store right in Austin. They have so many different options that it's pretty easy to select something from them. This is non-spawn, by the way. So I decided, you know what? I'm going in. We're doing it. And Randy and I went in yesterday. Actually, we took a bunch of video from it. I guess that's going to get released probably on Retail Therapy at some point. I'm very excited to wear these now. And the reason I finally took the step was because for so long, I've been wearing slim fit pants.
Yeah.
And I can't have the shoot of the boot sticking out of those.
Well, did you go with the side zip or did you go with something more traditional?
I went straight up traditional. I went with the toe bug and everything. I wanted boots.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do what I do with the hat where I go in between and then I feel like I'm like not going full in on something.
Do you have a debut in mind for these?
There's a lot of pressure for tonight. We've got a birthday party tonight.
New boot goofing.
And there's a lot of pressure on me to wear these boots tonight. I don't think I can bust it out. It's too warm for me to want to wear these boots for the first time. I want to do it in a cold weather. Like I want to just channel Bob Weir.
It is too warm. It's too warm. Yeah.
If I had a concert coming up, which I kind of do, but I think it's going to be, I'm going to the John Mayer solo show and I think that's going to be mainly sit down.
Okay.
But if I have a concert coming up, I will be wearing them to the concert to get that little extra inch and a half on my heels. I'm going to Ron DeSantis this.
You see the price of Bad Bunny tickets, by the way?
No, what are they?
Oh my God.
Are they crazy?
Insane. It's out of control, Will. It's out of
control. To get in the door for Drake, you were spending at least $300 for like nosebleeds.
More for Bad Bunny.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. Damn, I don't even know. I can't name a Bad Bunny song, but now I want to go to Bad Bunny.
$600 with fees for like nosebleed for Upper Deck. That was, I got the pre-sale code to log into Ticketmaster to be able for the opportunity to buy tickets at $600 a pop for the second level.
John Mayer solo.
I looked at John Mayer solo too. It's insane.
About quadruple. Nah, trip. They're about triple face value what they were.
Yeah.
It's just devastating stuff.
I got a real good laugh at looking at the ticket prices for like second or third row center on the floor for John Mayer solo.
What were they?
$4,000 a piece.
Yeah. Yeah. That checks out. I bought tickets on resale because I wanted to be in the same section as our friends who were going.
Yeah.
And so I overspent by a little bit of versus what I would have done if we just weren't going with them. But I was like, you know what? Like Sally's been pregnant for, she was pregnant for so long. She wants to go out and have some fun with her friends. Let's just get in their section and have some fun. But like, it's just brutal. How do we get here?
Cowboys.
I don't know when I'm going to debut
for a little new boot goofing.
I don't know when the full debut is going to be.
Yeah.
I am excited that I purchased these right before my dad's coming into town because I think he's looked at me for a while, been like, what? Like you live in Texas, yeah. Like embrace the Texan nature. And I just haven't done that.
Did you go into the try-on with jeans?
I went in with, I have some more like canvas khaki colored pants that I'm going to be wearing them with predominantly.
Got it.
And so I made sure to wear those.
You're notoriously not a jeans guy.
No. So I wore those in and made sure that they looked pleasing to me with those. And I have to say, I was pleasantly surprised. Wow. I thought I was going to look down and be like, okay, I can't look down at these. It's going to feel weird. I looked down and I was like, I'm really excited to go
wear
these.
Did you wear that shirt when you went in?
No, I actually packed the Bodhi t-shirt that I have with the horse on it because we were taking video, but I forgot to put it on. So I just went kind of classic.
Have you put on a whole kit yet with the new boots, the khaki canvas pants, the Bodhi t-shirt, this over that, and your Aspen hat, looked in the mirror, And just admired yourself? Have you done that yet?
I have not. And the reason, and you know that I have not done that because a mirror selfie has not been posted from retail therapy yet where I'm doing that. And so once that happens and I get to do that, I will be posting just an absurd, stupid fit that I have no place to wear it to.
What's our name for this new era? Is it Cowboy Will? Western Will?
I don't know. I don't hate Western Will. It's not Country Boy Will. Will, yeah, he's retired. I think Western Will might be in play right now.
All right.
So okay. Just catch me new boot goofing in a few different places over the next couple months here.
Can't wait.
We've got some other stuff to cover. I want you to take the reins on this one.
Well, where do you want to start? You want to start with Nobu style, or do you want to talk a little bit of...
What do you want?
I kind of think we should address the Skims of...
Let's address the Skims.
Let's address the Skims in the room. I walked in here. I saw to the stud. I saw this on the list. Before I even could say anything about it, you mentioned that you had bought some of the men's Skims that just dropped.
I have purchased a 3-pack of the 3-inch inseam boxer briefs.
Which I did the exact same thing. You mentioned another one of our friends of the pod who apparently also copped. And I'm very curious as to why this clearly had such a it was very weird to walk in here and this, by the way, I, you know, kind of buried the lead, but like I did, I have purchased one thing this October for myself so far. And it was this 3-pack of men's Skims, 3-inch boxer briefs / trunks.
I don't want to speak for the retail therapy listeners, Barrett, but it's just crazy. I'm clearing that purchase for you during
thank
no cop.
Thank you. And it's just like, okay, I thought I was going to be like, kind of like, hey, look what I did. I got some Skims.
No,
you know, like it was going to be like a bit that I was going to do.
The boys are skimming.
But the boys are just skimming.
The boys are skimming.
And so obviously the first thing that I have to do is pull up what I think was a really, really well done ad campaign by Skims.
It was. They got hitters for it. And that's what you needed.
They got hitters for it. They really did. They got Neymar to cover the footballers of the world. They got Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, who is one of the brightest young superstars in the NBA and is notorious for his runway tunnel fits. And then they got Nick Bosa, who, I'm not going to lie to you, I don't like Nick Bosa. He's very, very outspoken, has been in the past. He's like a super hard right Trumper. Mm-hmm. You know, just does not, he's not my cup of tea. But the man looks good in underwear, Will.
The man looks great in underwear.
And I would be lying to you if I said that it's part of the, it's part of what sold me, I think.
He looks good in underwear, man.
He looks great. So, you know, all three of these guys obviously are professional athletes, so they're all well-toned and look good in underwear. But on top of that, on top of the well, you know, the lighting is cool. They look hot. It all looks good. Like, do you have a tangential relationship to Skims through the women in your life?
I do. I do. Okay.
Well, so that's another thing. So do I. And like, I think the kind of the part of it that is maybe not said out loud enough because people love to hate Kim Kardashian is that Skims are really, 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 really popular because they're really, really, really good. And I've almost not heard a bad word about anything that anybody has ever bought from Skims.
Correct. Correct. Like that's why I bought it. Because yeah. Every single time that I've heard anyone talk about Skims, which is mostly females, it's all talking about how comfortable and how nice it is. And so once I saw they were doing men, I was like, well, I'm definitely going to give the underwear a shot because I'm always looking for like, I'm actually paying less for these than I pay for my normal underwear.
No, that also has to be mentioned is that the price for a 3-pack, it brought them under what you typically pay for like a pair of MeUndies or a pair of Calvin Klein's or a pair of what, you know, whatever, like, unless you're like kind of like, you know, there are plenty of spots where you can get underwear for less than that, but the, you know, that general kind of like the people that are making underwear that with good blends, nice fabric, super comfortable, no seams, like all that type of stuff, it's usually like over $20 a pop. So the 3-pack for 48 was felt like a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
The colors are cool. Like they had like some, I went with the more classic ones, like the gray, black, white, I think.
Yeah, I had to get all Onyx because I waited 24 hours to order them. And that's the only 3-pack they had left was in medium was that.
Okay, so I didn't even check back, but I did. That was another thing.
Mediums are gone.
I know Skim stuff sells out.
Mediums are gone, dude.
That was another thing. This was just a perfect storm, man.
It was. It really was.
And I also think that it identifies that like even though we have, you know, people love, what's that? Saks?
Yeah.
I've heard people talk about Saks. Yep. There's obviously like I've really, really enjoyed the MeUndies pairs that I have, but I have a ton of Calvin Klein.
Have you ever done the two unders?
No.
Two under?
Uh-uh.
I think I don't know if it's Australian or if they're just using a kangaroo, but they have the ball pouch.
They were
originally, I don't know what they've done now, but they were originally marketed to golfers to help the cooling situation down there.
Okay.
And I bought those and I played golf in them for a while, but I eventually found, I like the Lulu boxers the most.
Yeah, and Lulu is another one that I hear people talk about a lot. But yeah, despite all those brands I just named, I still feel like there was a void that was good looking, comfortable, minimally branded, well priced, and adding a little bit of the Kim Kardashian Skims hype on top did not hurt. And this is going to be very interesting to see what happens because I thought that maybe I was going to be the only one doing a little Skims copping, but apparently, like you said, the boys are skimming.
We're skimming. Sally is convinced. She is convinced that Kim Kardashian is my like celebrity crush. I don't feel like I've like ever spoken about Kim Kardashian in a way that can like indicate that she's like my ultimate celebrity crush, but Sally is like convinced of it for some reason. And while I do have a little crush on Kim Kardashian, I like her. like that's not the reason I bought Skims. But like the brand equity has been so built up like across the board that I couldn't not just try it. And so I'm excited. I'll give a full review once they arrive.
Yeah, there was. I did. The email said we might be waiting a few days for processing and shipping. So I don't know. I don't know exactly when we're going
to
have these.
Do numbers, Kim. Do your numbers and then worry about shipping it to us later.
Sure.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep.
And yeah, I think we'll have a two-pronged Skims report pretty soon here.
Let's do it.
Skims, feel free to get at us. I don't think you need us.
They don't need us.
But if you want, you know, we're here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Will, I posted this last minute, so I'm not sure how much you've had a chance to read, but I thought this was a really, really interesting article that from GQ that came out a few days ago. It was written by Samuel Hine, who's a guy usually like his stuff on GQ. And I thought it articulated something that I feel like we've kind of talked around a little bit, but not been able to put words to as far as what men's style looks like right now. And the title of the column here is, why does everybody dress like they have a stylist? And then below, and then the secondary line is, all of a sudden, quote, Nobu style has taken over the male wardrobe. And so I'll pull a couple of excerpts from here, but they use Travis Kelce as the example here. And he's obviously been getting a ton of shine, a lot of spotlight.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but he's dating Taylor Swift.
What?
Yeah. So a lot of photographs of him. He's in the he's in the eye of the paparazzi. And as it's been said, this is his Super Bowl of dressing.
Okay.
Right now.
Okay. That's insulting to his actual Super Bowl.
Because he knows that every time he steps out, there is even more focus on his fits. And as Samuel Hine points out, he looks like he has a stylist. Like, yeah, the fits have been pretty good. They've, yeah, been pretty sharp. As it turns out, he does not have a stylist.
I don't believe it.
And in fact, for his game day fits, he acknowledges that he sometimes spends up to 3 hours picking them out in his walk-in closet.
Those are rookie numbers.
Which I really identify with that too. So shouts to Travis for taking an inordinate amount of time picking stuff out.
If I'm a coach, if I'm a Kansas City Chiefs coach right now, I'm like, how much time do you spend?
Seriously.
How much video you watched this last week?
Yeah, I guess when you put up 187 yards and like 12 catches, they don't really care how much video
it's
you're
true.
Watching.
It's true.
And like the idea here is basically that like everything kind of looks purchased together. It all looks new. It all works well. It's all kind of, it's not too matchy-matchy, but it all lines up together in a neat way. You know, the colors, like there's a clear color palette. Everything's tailored well.
He owns a steamer, clearly.
And yet there's nothing really like individual about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, it has this like, not processed, but kind of packaged feel.
Mm-hmm.
So things can look good, and the pieces themselves are obviously cool clothes, but it has like a little bit of sterility to it, where it's like there's nothing. You're not getting like a Pharrell Williams type of panache
He has the luxury of being able to go to like a website. Like he can go to Nordstrom and just sort by, like he can go to the designer pages, sort by price. Most expensive to least expensive, and just press click and be like, all right, I'm probably going to look really good in this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And like, not everyone has that. And so what the problem that we find ourselves with is matching these statement pieces with the kind of like less statement-y pieces that we have, less like focal pieces. I don't know how to say it. Mainly that's why they wrote this article, because I don't know how to say it.
So here's a blurb that I liked. This seasonless and bi-coastal frequency is squarely in the mushy middle between casual and formal. Relaxed enough to signal that you're off duty, but fancy enough to get a good table at your local upscale sushi spot, with or without a pop star by your side. Call it Nobu style. Its adherents emulate many of the moves that stylists often bring to high-profile jobs. Matching sets are peak Nobu style. Assemblages of the, quote, right brands. Kelce rocks critically adored labels like Marnie, Fear of God, and Jill Sander, as well as niche names like Kid Super, is Nobu style too. A suit and tie? Nope. A designer suit with a t-shirt and sneakers? Right this way, sir. So they have a quote from a designer, Emily Dawn Long, here that I thought was pretty good too. Says she's clocked the aesthetic all over Instagram and hotspot neighborhoods like Dime Square, famous for that's essentially what Nolita Dirtbag, mm-hmm, is covering on Instagram. And she says, quote, more guys are doing the full fit thing. She says, quote, instead of wearing one great jacket and building their look around that, they'll have a really good jacket, really good pants, a cool hat, cool shoes. Walk by La Dive on a nice day and you'll indeed notice a striking freshness in the crowd. Everybody's clothes look as brand new as the Jill Sander zip-up Kelce wore on a night out with Swift last weekend. So that's kind of what I thought. That hit on a really important point where it's like, and I feel this too, because it kind of calls back to something that I was saying earlier, where it's like, I can look ahead at my next few months and be like, okay, I'm going to have 6 nights to wear something, so I better make it count.
Yeah.
And so you're almost like, I feel incentivized in a way to be like, oh, well, I've got that jacket, which I love, but also those new pants, which are super sick as well. And so you kind of like start like it, and it's not that they look bad together. It's just that nothing necessarily feels like you to a degree, because everything is just a cool piece that you kind of latched onto.
I feel like if I try to do that, like if I try to put on all my nicest stuff all at once, I feel like I'm volume shooting. And I feel like people will look at me and be like, why is he volume shooting for this fit right now? This is so unnecessary.
When I think like in a place like Austin, you know, Kelsey's fit here is pretty, that's universal. It's not too crazy. It's a two-tone shirt, a big time jacket, and then like pretty subtle, but very cool looking pants.
What's the jacket?
This is the Jill Sander jacket.
Okay. It's a really nice jacket.
But in a spot like Austin, you're definitely right. Like you know, this is not, it's not Times Square. So you can't quite go all the way with like, oh, I'm going to wear the embroidered purple double knees as well as like the new, you know, insane jacket that I have, plus like the vintage trucker hat that I just found, plus like the dunks that I just scored off Sneakers app. Like it doesn't totally work as well here because you do look a little too peacocky.
Yeah.
But I still think it's just this was a really nice way to frame up kind of the way that dudes are dressing right now, which very much is cool, great for a night out dinner, but like not all the way too fancy. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I just thought it had some really good things to say about the current status of kind of men's style.
When we went to Napa for my sister-in-law's wedding, and it was a quick trip. And we had a lot to do and we were not going to have any kids there. And I had just gotten done with my little like spring shopping spree. And I decided ahead of that trip, I was like, I'm only packing my nice shit for this trip. If I'm going somewhere, I want to feel as fresh as I can possibly feel. When we arrived there and I hadn't packed any of my like everyday wearing clothes, I was like, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Why would I do this to myself? Everything I have is like dry clean. Everything I have, like if I get one stain on this, I can't wear it the rest of the time. I was just like, what are you doing, Will? Like you don't need to wear your nicest stuff for like a wine tasting on a hot summer day in Napa.
Yeah.
Like just dress normal, dude. Chill out.
Yeah.
And I like even the dinners where I'd go and be wearing like all my nicest stuff, I was like, man, I feel like a douche right now. I was like, I don't need to be wearing all my nice stuff. I could wear just like this. Like I have a sweater that I was wearing that's kind of a statement sweater. And I was like, just wear the sweater, Will. You don't need to go off and like wear something underneath the sweater too. Like just be normal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but that's also like the way you describe that makes me think of kind of how I packed for our New York trip. And we do have a little bit of like Texas, Austin, and on top of that weather, like repression, I think built up.
We do.
You give these boys, you give these Texas boys the opportunity to really start dressing and like, we're going full Nobu style.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
What can
we're
I say?
Nobu people now, I guess. That's just how it is for now. Can we talk briefly before we get to Wishlist about these two collaborations that I've set out here?
Yeah. This, I got to say it, Will, you know, maybe it's just because you had a couple weeks off and everything just kind of, we just zeroed in on the same stuff, but everything you put on the rundown today. Was just like stuff that I probably had a tab open about it already. So
yeah,
great. I mean, we're going long too. It's a great sode.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, when I saw both of these collaborations, I was just like, okay, well, these are right in the wheelhouse of retail therapy. The first one was Buck Mason's collaboration with Eddie Bauer. When I see Eddie Bauer when I see Eddie Bauer come across the Sprezza Twitter feed, I'm like, okay, now we're about to be cooking. Like if you don't have memories of looking at Eddie Bauer edition, cars in the mall when you were a little kid, like you didn't have the same childhood as me. I thought I was the dopest shit ever. But like, I love this stuff. I love it.
It's pretty incredible the way that this all came together because on its surface, it shouldn't be that interesting. It's classic, like vintage military inspired garb, like CPOs and down liner jackets in earthy military olive and khaki hues. But something about it is just really, really hitting. And it clearly resonated because most of it's sold out. Honestly, I've got time for Buck Mason. I think they do a lot of things well, but I was pretty floored at how well this was all styled. I thought they did a really, really nice job of kind of like distressing these jackets for the photo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way they come. You have to put that work in yourself, which I also kind of like. But the way that they just kind of like distressed him a little bit or had a little bit of a rip on the collar or a little bit of, you know, a little dirt or splatter somewhere that you can just barely notice. It was just really well done. They kind of paired them with like, you know, the guys that are wearing these have cool jewelry and cool accessories and are well layered. And I, I, it, not to mention, like you said, the nostalgia of the archival Eddie Bauer looking pieces. They look, I feel like you can feel the quality of these pieces.
You can. Like, I feel like I know what I feel. I don't know why I feel like this, but I feel like I know what it would feel like to wear one of these jackets.
Yeah.
Like it feels nostalgic in a way, even though I don't have any pieces in my past that I can look back at and be like, yeah, I had this. Like, this is very similar.
And yeah, this was very, very well executed. I think that's as, you know, as a person that works in this industry and develops clothing, like that was my biggest takeaway, is they had an idea that wasn't that brain busting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they executed it to perfection.
It was perfect execution. Then we also have another you know, kind of melting of worlds. Palace and Barber. Barber always seems to have some kind of nice hype collaboration every year, whether it's with Noah or I don't even know what some of the other ones they've done recently. But when I saw this, I was like, okay, this is also on brand. I don't think this doesn't excite me nearly as much as the Buck Mason Eddie Bauer, but this solidifies a couple things for us. Camo's just not going away. And it's puffy season. People are puffing.
People are puffing for sure. Yeah. The
skim and puff, baby.
Skimming and puffing.
That's our, that could be like our first single. Skimming and puffing.
Yeah. I like this. You mentioned the Noah Barber collaboration, and I do feel like this one almost went in one ear and out the other.
Yeah.
Because it didn't compare to the Noah version.
Yeah.
For me. The Noah version was better.
I get it. Yeah. And Palace isn't a brand that I usually gravitate toward anyway. But this was more in the vein of something that I would gravitate towards. But it's still just a little too out there.
Yeah. I mean, like, this jacket was cool, but it's just like, it's not, this jacket does not scream Barber to me.
Yeah.
And like, if I'm going to do a Barber piece, I kind of want it to be reflective of the Barber heritage.
I want it to look more classic Barber than I want it to look hype Palace.
Yes. And so so for me, the twist here was a little too funky, whereas like basically Noah just did it in more saturated jewel tones. And I like that. That was just enough. There was another great piece on GQ's profile of Jound. The guy's name is slipping my mind right now. I think anybody that's listened to this podcast or Club Cool Pods of old knows that I'm not the biggest Jound fan.
I just want to have a sit down with the Jound team and just talk some stuff out real quick.
I take some umbrage with a little bit of what they do, but this profile made me respect the grind a little bit more, I think.
Do you pay for GQ?
No.
How do you read all these?
You don't need to. You just got to. They just want your email address.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just need an account.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. There was a quote in there about how, like, when they collaborate with somebody, Crocs or Vans or New Balance or whoever it is, like, they're basically, their goal is to take a classic and add like 5 degrees of difference to it.
I get it.
And I reading that and kind of thinking about that made me respect it a little bit more, is that they're not trying to change anything.
Yeah.
They're literally just trying to like shift the frame just a little bit askew to make it more interesting. And so it doesn't always work for me. I thought the Crocs were stupid. It's a white pair of Crocs. I don't think they reached 5 degrees even. But thinking about all that to say, that's how I felt about the Noah Barber collaboration, which I think did just enough of a twist, just a little tiny bit to make it pop. And this just feels like a little bit too far.
Then, like, if you wanted the Jound Vans, like, you can just go make those in the custom Vans thing.
Yeah.
Like, pretty much. Like, like that's where it drives me nuts. Like, why would I pay $100 for these when I can go pay less and just, make them custom and wait an extra week to get them? Whatever. But, yeah, like, now I have to read this Jound article, because I've also been critical of that. I have been following them for such a long time that they have definitely had an effect on me. But it is one of those things where it's like, I don't know how to feel. And this article is probably going to do what it did to you, where it's going to turn the tide a little bit for me.
Yeah, I'm still mostly like, I did not go for the New Balance that dropped yesterday. I'm mostly out on the Jound stuff, but my tone has softened towards the collective at this point. I think.
I'll be out in front of this. If you see me in a Jound sweatshirt this season, yes, I do own one and I really do like it. It's oatmeal colored. It does have a bit of a red wine stain on it, which that's why I don't wear it in public anymore. But it's such a nice sweatshirt and it's so comfortable that like I'm not willing to get rid of it, even though you can see like some red wine on the front of it. I'm just not there yet.
I mean, yeah, why would you? It's just character.
Let's do some wish lists.
It's time for wish lists.
Yeah. It's been a minute. Last time I was in, I dropped three different things on the wish list, which again, I will update with all of our historical picks from the last few weeks. So don't worry about that. Do you want to start off?
I will start off. Yeah. Do you mind if I go on a bit of a diatribe on mine?
Please do.
Okay. So there's a shoe out there that is kind of like, I'm going to call it 2023's Clark's Wallaby.
Okay.
It's a lot of places. It's been bubbling for a couple years, and I think it's officially on the radar if you are a listening to this podcast or consider yourself a stylish person. And it's the Paraboot Michael. And it is it's essentially like a classic looking leather shoe with this big kind of sweeping mock toe that goes all the way to the vamp.
Okay. I'm into it.
Yeah. And they're kind of an acquired taste, right? And,
I like it.
And depending on if your style has leaned more streetwear over the last 5 years, they might be, they're harder to work into a wardrobe than something like a Clark's Wallaby. But this is certainly kind of a silhouette of the season, I would say. And so much so that you've got Prada. This is one of the hottest designer versions of the shoe. Their little take, which is essentially just a high fashion version of it. $1,200 or $1,300 there, if you can stomach that. Anyway, what I'm adding to the wish list for myself is kind of the down version of the Paraboot Michael. I'm not in on the Paraboot Michael mostly comes in brown and black leather,
mm-hmm.
which I would personally have a hard time with because it does feel a little stuffy and preppy to me.
It feels like much more New York
than
it feels Austin to wear a pair of those.
Paraboot is also very expensive. Phil and I talked about the Avoriaz hiking boot last week, which comes in at like $700 or $800, and I think the Michael is $400 or $500. But Madewell has a really nice collaboration with GH Bass right now. And so that is my wish list ad today, is the Madewell GH Bass Wallace leather mock, which does the same mock toe up to the vamp on a nice kind of chunky lug sole. But the color here is a kind of a charcoal olive-ish green.
Calling this charcoal on their website is a huge, huge...
I just caught that. I was going to call these green. I was going to call these
This is not charcoal. This is one of those moments where like the person uploading everything is just like, fuck it, charcoal.
So this is what I'm adding. This olivey grayish, not leather. It's more of like a suede, or it's got some texture to it. This is how I see myself getting my foot in the door on this shape of shoe. This is way more of like an easy step from a Clark's Wallaby, which I already wear pretty often. And it just feels like a nice wintry version of it with a more stomp ready sole and kind of a color that just won't go away.
And that color is going to go with pretty much everything you put on right now. I'm happy with these. I really like these, Barrett. Yeah. I really like these. And as far as this silhouette goes for everything you just pulled up on the screen, these are definitely my favorite.
Yeah.
And they're the cheapest ones that you put up on the screen.
They are the cheapest ones. They also, Randy, it's been, I think we've crossed our threshold. The clock has reset. So mm-hmm. get that bell finger ready. But in the new Ame Leon door drop, thank you.
Very fast.
There was a new pair of Wallabies that are like a dark green leather.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw people on Reddit being like, well, where's the brown version? Or where's, no, I think they're, a, I think they are classified as brown. And people online were being like, well, where's the green version? And I'm pretty sure it just is the green version. They just like have like this greenish brown hue to them.
Yeah.
So I feel like this color falls right into that wheelhouse where it's like, is it green? Is it brown? Is it gray? We're not sure. And therefore it kind of goes with that.
It might change with the color pants you have on.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, these, I'm looking at the ALD ones now and like, yeah, these are a tough color. I don't mean a tough color in a bad way, but like looking at it, that could
like
easily,
you're not sure what it is.
That could easily change. Yeah. I'm adding something from a company I've never shopped with before, Knickerbocker. I have a sweatshirt that is very similar to one, the one that we just put up on the screen, but I bought it during my extreme Peloton phase. And you add in that with the fact that I probably washed this sweatshirt on too high of heat a couple times. And so it's just gotten a little shrunken. It doesn't fit the same as it used to. It just doesn't fall the same way as it used to. And I always like having something in this style just to have on for like a cool day. And so I am adding the compact trainer pullover. I'm going to do the color green. I wanted to do the color black, but I have too much black and I've been trying to get away from the black lately. So I'm going to go with the green here, even though everything else I own is green. And yeah, it's just like a thick sweatshirt with kind of like a rolled turtleneck a little bit.
All right. And is this fleece? Is it more sweatshirt material?
I think it's more sweatshirt material than anything.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, it's more sweatshirt material. And I don't know. I just like, there's something about having like a mock neck or like a shorter turtleneck when I'm hanging out during the colder months inside that I just kind of like having that. It's comforting for me. It's a nice little hug. And so I'm putting this on in Hunter. I don't know if I'm going to get it because I do think it's a little out of my price range for what this piece actually is. But more than anything, I think this is more just kind of keeping Knickerbocker top of mind for me just to see what they put out later. It's not a company I look at very often, but it's a company that looks like it could be in the vein of how I dress.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if this particular item is carried at Stag, but Stag carries Knickerbockers.
They do. So
if you ever want to get your hands on a couple of pieces,
shouldn't have told me that.
To feel them.
I've been actively trying to avoid Stag as this cold front is just squarely in our vision
yes,
right now.
Yes, with 50 degrees looming on Monday, it would be a dangerous time to step into. To Stag, especially here, right square at the end of No Coptober.
Yeah, I need to stay out of there until next month. I have 4 days to stay out of that store, but might have to pop in. What an episode we just had! I'm pumped up right now.
A fabulous return from Western Will here.
I was under the weather on Tuesday during our normal recording time, so we had to punt to Friday. And what a decision that was!
I think it really worked out for us.
Yeah. This worked out really well. So
the boys are super close to getting our skims on.
Mm-hmm.
In the drawers department. We now know what Nobu style is. It
was
a big day for
us. I feel good. I don't feel like I have any direction in terms of water bottles still. I still feel like I'm just going to end up having six different water bottles that I'd never actually drink anything out of. Yeah. I just carry them around with me.
Look, we need to scroll Instagram and do a deep dive and figure out what the greatest football player of all time, David Beckham, is using as his water.
The GOAT player ever. What are you drinking out of, David?
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.